it's amazing how feelings go, and you try to remember how you felt in the past. Looking at a tagline for how you felt the same way in the past, and thinking about leaving and realizing that the first time I really felt the mixture of feelings I have now is when I left from college. It was an incredible scene. My family and I have always been extremely close. I love my parents, and you can talk about dysfunction all you want to. Our family, even though they probably had some of those terminology, we were in love with each other. And it was hard to leave. And yet, I was excited about going to college and excited about walking away to a new world. But as things got closer and I packed my 69 Pontiac Tempest named Bernie, 14 karat bronze metal flake, loaded it so full that the tailgate was touching the bottom of the ground, had everything packed in it, it was time to go. And we'd postponed it as long as we could. And my dad said, "It's time, I guess, isn't it?" And I said, "Yeah." He looked at my mom and said, "Rose, it's okay. He only has 3 pounds of spaghetti. He's going to be back." My dad held the door open. My mom came. You have to understand my mom. My mom's not good at goodbyes. She just doesn't do goodbyes. My mom came. She looked at me and she said, "Be good. Remember that wherever we go, we're always family. We love you. See you when we get home." And she turned and she went to the bedroom. And I didn't see her after that. She couldn't stand to say goodbye. She got better as the years passed. Grandchildren coming and going, she would wave. But I recognized she just would never use the words goodbye. Instead, "Be good. Remember, wherever we go, we're always family. Love ya. See you when we get home." I saw John 17, and it's amazing. It's very similar. If you look with me, Jesus speaking to his disciples. Now, he realizes he's leaving and that there's some struggle. "My mom said, be good." What kind of advice is that? It's like dressing the kids for church and telling them to keep clean. It's going against the very nature of things. It's like looking at the whole picture and saying, "How can you go so much against nature as to tell me to be good, going to college?" It would be like telling Grace to stop being hospitable. It would be like telling Philip that he couldn't play any more music. It would be like telling Debbie to stop praying, or Kimberly to stop playing with the computer. It would be like telling Roland to stop cooking, or Janelle to stop sewing. It would be like telling Jalyn to stop giving, or Shelley to stop nurturing, or Shalina to just sit down. There is something about it that goes against the very nature to say, "Be good." It's good advice, but how do you ever put it into practice? I remember reading an Art Linkletter selection. They had Art Linkletter talking to one of the children and said, "So what did your mom tell you before you came?" The little boy looked up and he said, "She told me not to act normal." There's something that has to go against our normal nature when God says, "Be good." In John 17, verse 6, as Jesus is talking about his disciples, he said, "I have manifest your name to the men whom you have given me to go out into the world. They are yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." Amazing. They have kept your word. Wouldn't you like to say that about your children? They have kept your... They've been good. When Jalyn would do something wrong when she was little, since spanking was no longer acceptable, I did tickle attacks. And I would tickle her and tickle her, and pretty soon she would say, "I'll be a good girl, I'll be a good girl." It worked for her. Somehow it stopped someplace along the line, about when she got 10, I guess. The being good part, not the tickling. I still tried. Be good. How do you stay good? John 17:3, it says, "And this is eternal life, that they might know me, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." That's how they became good. They became so connected with God and His presence, they began to live differently. Not just outside behavior, because you can tell people to be good, and you can get them to do good things, but you can't change the inside heart. Goodness has to come from a transformed well, a purified well, has to have something changed on the inside for you to be able to live really good. The warning message is more than saying you have to change your behavior. The message is saying, find the source of goodness. Find the fountain that changes. Unite with it. Jesus, John 14:30, said, "Satan has come and he finds nothing in me." And see, when we're in Him, He finds nothing in us either. When we're in Christ, when we've let Christ permeate our being, then Satan's taken out. John 17, verse 15, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." Father, protect them. Watch out for them. Because Satan is going to bribe and blackmail. He's going to bully. He's going to agitate, infiltrate, intimidate, and humiliate. He's going to do all that he can to pull them. He's going to use the man in the pew, and he's going to use the work of the saint. He's going to use the tough times that are around them, and he's going to use the disaster that they face to pull them away from you. So God, protect them. Keep them from Satan infiltrating. I guess Jesus said, be good too, to His disciples. A way of telling them that goodness only comes by staying close to me. My mom said, you're good, half of you got it. My mom said, be good. Remember, no matter how far we go, we'll always be family. The greatest testimony, I think, for my dad was after he died. After my dad died, all of a sudden you looked around and said, we're still together. We still care about each other. We're still family. And even though he's gone, it hasn't changed the connection that we have. My dad didn't stop being my dad just because he left. Well, my dad happened to die and couldn't change that. But just because he left, he didn't stop being my dad. It's a testimony that connection still carries on. And how I relate to my brothers and my sisters and my mom, a testimony about family. John 17:6, he says, "They were yours, and you gave them to me." He later says in John 17:11, "Keep them in your name." They're all one name. They're all Christian. They're all family. In verses 20 through 21, it says, "I do not ask in behalf of these only, but also for all those who believe through their word, that they may be one even as we are one." He expects that the family is going to grow. That the door is going to be open and more are going to come in. It tells me we can't be clique. We can't be settled with just who's in our circle today. We have to open our arms. That's family, don't you think? It tells me that we've got to look more carefully at how we include and exclude people, and we can't filter people out because they don't fit into our box. You don't choose who your family is. Isn't it true? Or some of you choose somebody different, wouldn't you? When you have family, you love them regardless of what's going on in their life, regardless of their struggle, regardless of the divorce or the issue that they're facing with their family, regardless if they've handled their money wisely or poorly, regardless if they're shooting up, taking a pill, or if they've wandered away from God, you still love them because they're family. I think one of the greatest struggles that the disciples had was catching that. Remember, they were still struggling about who's going to be the greatest. Up until the end, they were still looking at who's going to be top dog. The little saying says that unless you're top dog, the view gets really hard behind. It was a sledding term. If you're looking at the whole picture, the disciples were struggling with each other as far as their position and role. And God turned that all around. He talked about service and showed them how to serve and to take care of each other. I think we should be accepting of each other. The only area that we should stop accepting each other is when we find somebody who's not accepting. We shouldn't accept that. I think the areas of the church of divisiveness are the areas that cause breaks in families. And they should be stopped at its lowest point in my life. Because that's how families continue to grow. Every wedding that I preach, I have a line that I use. Honeybees and buzzards, when combing the desert, both find what they're looking for. It's true about each other, you know. What you look for is what you'll find. The truth is they find in each other the thing that they're looking for. And I share that with newlyweds because when they stop looking for the right things and they start looking for the wrong, critical nature builds up. And pretty soon they make their spouse the villain. And they're bad. And that's all they can see in them. And it's true about each other. And what happens is you begin to share that vilification. And pretty soon in your own mind, that's all you can see. Honeybees and buzzards, when combing the desert, both find what they're looking for. And so will you. It's not a matter of the desert. It's a matter of whether you're a honeybee or you're a buzzard. Looking, John 13, verse 35. By this all men will know that you're my disciples when you have love for one another, when you're family. When you recognize and not surprised by somebody's shortcomings and failings, but you're willing to love them through it. My mom said, be good. Remember, no matter how far you go, we'll always be family. Love you. It's sometimes hard to explain what love is and how it really fits all together, isn't it? I mean, it's different in different situations. But love is not just words, love's actions. And love's not just a feeling, love is an action. No greater love has man than this, than he lay down his life for his brother. By this we know love, that God gave himself for us, and we ought also to give our life for the brother. Love is not just about a feeling that roars up inside. Love is about a choice to put somebody else above myself. In John 17:1, Jesus spoke and he said, Father, the hour has come to glorify the Son. What was that hour? That hour for him to give himself. Why he'd come. To demonstrate the greatest revelation of love, to pour himself out. John 17, verse 26. And I have made your name known to them, and I'll make it known, that the love that you've given me may be in them, and I in them. We've got to love. Someplace along the line, we need to make choices to put others first. That's hard for us, isn't it? It's hard for me. Jesus certainly demonstrated that for his disciples, why he'd come. My mom said, be good. Remember, no matter how far we go apart, we'll always be family. Love you. See you when we get home. John 17, verses 24 and 25. Father, I desire that they also, whom you've given me, may be with me where I am, in order that I may behold your glory, in order that they may behold my glory, the glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known thee, yet I have known thee, and these have known that you did send me. Jesus says, I want them to be with me where I am. And that's the hope that he gave them. It's from John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you unto myself. It's not even about heaven. I'll take you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Jesus has left this for a little while. I can imagine how that must have been for the disciples. But he left for a purpose. To secure a place so that we'll never have to say goodbye. To secure a place where there's no more pain and suffering, and heartache and hurt. Where there are ongoing connection and relationships. Will there be no sense of loss? God didn't say goodbye. He just said, I'll see you later. Because that's where we're going to be together throughout eternity. We've gone through leaving a few times. I've pastored now for 27 years. Leaving's always hard. But you know, if I hadn't left the last place, I wouldn't have gotten to know all you wonderful people. I think back and say, sometimes leaving gives opportunity to increase the family. I can tell you how many people have promised to come see us. We want them to. We know as time passes and distance, it gets a little harder to come. But we've had folks who continue to keep connection. And some who we love very dearly, we haven't seen for a while. But we know this isn't the end. And that this is just the next step toward home. I'm with my mom. I'm not good at goodbyes. I know that why my mom didn't say this, because she didn't want us to see her cry. She had to run to the bedroom pretty quick. I wondered if there was a bedroom close for the end of this week. Instead, I thought I would share with you the hope that we all have together. My mom, I think she was a pretty good theologian. Be good. Remember, no matter how far we're apart, we'll always be family. We love you. See you when we get home.
wrapping up the dreams and plans we did in the fertile soil of you. I believe the hope. Means a chapter in your life is through, but we'll keep you close as always. It won't even seem you've gone, 'cause our Father's hand, we know that lifetime's not too long to live as friends. God's given springing from the hope we know we will pray the joy you'll live in is the thing you know. Because our hearts in big and small ways will keep the love that keeps us strong. And friends are friends forever. Oh, Lord, the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, 'cause the welcome will not end, though it's hard to let you go. In the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live.
Mighty God, thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for the reminder that we have hope to be together forever as your family. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would watch over our church here, and that you would build a strong connection for them for eternity. Thank you, too, Lord, for the blessing of friends and the support we've been able to be toward each other, toward the kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.